You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat, and we're back for another episode of your favorite Real Hauntings podcast.
That's right. The gang is back together, and we're so excited to bring you a guest who reached out to us that her story was so cool that it was featured in a newspaper article, and we're going to hear all about that. Angela, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you hear about Real Hauntings?
Well, during the pandemic, of course, I start listening to podcasts, would go out. I was actually had surgery during it, and I started walking and just ran across it, and I got hooked.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was it all of Noah's bad jokes that got you hooked?
So you know, I love bad jokes.
Well, I am the host for you. I was making dad jokes long before I became a dad, so I can't use that as an excuse, unfortunately. Well, you know, we love to find out where our guests fall on the believometer. Zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I would say a 10.
Okay. Ooh. Wow. That's pretty convincing. Yeah. So I've had the luxury or pleasure of actually seeing your email. JJ and Kat, we like for them to come in blind on those things so we can get a natural reaction. Now, I know that you had some specific instances in a haunted home, and we would love to hear about that. But was that haunting what really turned you into a 10, or did you have things happen outside of that home?
When we first moved, when I was a little girl, things happened in my very first home, but of course I didn't realize what was going on. I was just scared of things. But once we moved to the second home, there were so many things that happened. I kind of threw them off as, you know, I'm little, I had no idea what was going on. I just kind of let it go. But as I became older and then started looking back, I had some things happen as an adult. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? Is this paranormal? Is this, what is it? And this was in the early 90s when start ramping up, you know, you had Sylvia Brown coming on and made me start reading some books and try to question what was happening. And I'm like, you know what, those things that were happening in my house, what did that really happen? And I questioned my parents and my sisters, and we started comparing stories. I'm like, wait a minute. So that's kind of where it all happened. It kind of snowballed.
That's funny that you mentioned the late 90s, and Kat and JJ, you're a little younger than me, so I'm not sure if it will impact you the same way, but I do remember being a kid and starting to see all the infomercials for like psychics and ghost stuff. And, you know, that did work to kind of normalize the supernatural to a certain extent, or make it the butt of like every joke. Yes. There for a period.
Yes, you didn't really want to still admit it yet, you know, like, okay, that's not real, or do you believe? I'm not sure. Do they? No, you right. Don't want to say anything yet.
It's always fun to grow up and be like, wait, you had that same experience that I had, that I remember from all with anything, like
right.
Stories about your parents or the neighborhood, you know, crew or whatever it is. So that's pretty cool that y'all got to share those similar stories.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to remember, not to sidetrack us, but what was the lady's name? Miss Cleo? Does that sound right?
I think that is right. Was that, were you talking about the infomercial or?
Yeah, the psychic that they would ever. And I think she ended up getting sued for like fraud. I'm not sure. Everybody do their own research. That's a reckless speculation. Miss Cleo, don't come after
this
us.
This
is
like
know.
A commercial on the, on.
So I've always been a night owl. And so I had a TV in my room as a kid. I was raised by television. And I remember seeing those Miss Cleo ads all the time. And as a kid being like, wait, they're adults that can just tell the future. What is going on?
Yeah, you call this number and she'd give you a reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
Was it for $19.99?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. Right after Shamwell. Well, Angela, we would love to jump right in. Why don't you start us kind of with your earliest hauntings and then work us up to why you're here to talk today?
And then we'll circle back around. Just kidding.
All right.
Corporate lingo. You wouldn't understand, JJ.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My corporate brain turned off at 5, so.
Oh, I guess the first thing I remember when it came to this house that we moved into, I was 9. We moved out to an acreage. It was a Victorian-style home. Moved out there. Beautiful, beautiful home. And my parents, as we're moving in, started going through, like the attic closet, and they found a whole box of pictures of the people that had built the home in 1907. It had their family pictures. It had letters, news clippings from the newspaper, some books in there about spiritualism and random stuff. Well, my dad, being a history buff, just absolutely loved having all these old pictures. So, that we kept them, and my mom put them up on a wall just to have around. So they were always, they're still there to this day, just that family we honored that family, being in that home. But I remember our very first experience. We hadn't even really started. We were just moving in. My mom was putting pictures up on the wall. She was standing on the staircase. It's a big open staircase, and I could hear her hammering. And at one point she yelled, "Girls, stop." Like, okay, what's going on, and I'm 9, my sister's 3, and then she yelled, "Girls, knock it off." So we go in there, I'm like, "What's going on?" She says, "Are you guys messing with me? Are you under the stairs?" I'm like, "No, we're not playing under the stairs." And so she said every time she was hammering on the wall, she would feel it underneath her feet. Like, she'd hammer 3 times or 4 times, whatever, and then right underneath afterwards, it would, bounce back up, So she swore that we were underneath the stairs hammering out, hitting the steps. So, we just kind of put that off as that's weird. It wasn't us.
Could you even get under the steps?
You actually could a little bit. There was a closet, and then you could go back, underneath, but it was too
high. Harry Potter closet.
Okay. I was going to do this thing under. Where I'm like, what are we all thinking about? But JJ's just like,
"Oh, Harry Potter." Well, double cadaver. That's what you sounded like, yeah.
Bob, you can't just say that.
So technically we could have, but it was way too creepy. And, that there would be no way I'd be under there. And my sister wouldn't either. She was too little. But we just continued with did our thing. And I would say, I don't know if it was the same day or a couple days later, but my sister was upstairs playing, and we heard a loud crash, and she come running down the stairs crying. What's the matter? What's the matter? What happened? And she said, "There's a little girl crawling up my shelf." My dad went up there, and the shelf was all over the, all over the ground. And my little sister claimed that there was a girl on her shelf climbing up, trying to get toys. We're like, "Well, okay, are you 3 and you're just saying that because,
Are you 3? Yes.
Yeah.
You did something wrong. You're just going to blame it on some imaginary friend, But there was always part of us going, "Well, maybe, maybe." So again, that was just another little thing we just kind of pushed to the side. A few years later, I would say, I was sleeping and or laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep. And I always slept with my door open. And with the house being so old, you could always hear creaking and cracking every time anybody walked. So nobody could ever sneak up on you. And I always knew by the sound of the footsteps or the creaking who was coming, you know, whether it was my mom or my dad or my sister. And I was laying in bed and I heard all of a sudden somebody was in my doorway. And I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't hear anybody coming down the hall. So immediately I was kind of scared because I'm like, I have no idea who this is. And I'm just laying there and my back is actually to the doorway. So I couldn't see. And I was actually too afraid to see. So I could hear somebody walk across my floor and then sit down on my bed. At this point, I'd already put the covers over my head because there's no way I was going to see whatever it was I was there.
And how old were you when that happened?
I had to be at least 11, 12 years old.
You know, so old enough to know the difference. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I sat there real quick and I was in a waterbed. So imagine a waterbed, you kind of lean.
You would definitely know then. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just frozen. I'm not moving.
And what then, fun parents that get at a 12-year-old a waterbed. How cool is that?
I'm thinking what fun for the ghost. They probably had no idea what that was.
They had no idea. So I just laid there for a little bit and then I could feel whatever was sitting there got up because then the waterbed, you know, leveled out again. And I waited to hear for them to walk away and nobody walked away. So I pulled the covers down and there was no one. That was probably the first time I was ever just scared because I could feel somebody there. I knew somebody was there, but there's no way you can walk across my floor without a noise. It was an old house. So that was my next thing. The other thing that I always in my room, I would hear as I would be in my room, I could hear my name being called. And so I would think it's my mom. I'd go downstairs, you know, hey, what'd you want? She goes, oh, I didn't call you, but well, there's a basket of laundry. Why don't you fold the laundry? You know, but, okay. And this kept going on. Every time I go down there, well, I didn't call you. There's some dishes. Go do some dishes, you know? And so finally I'm like, one, lady, you're losing your mind. And two, I'm like, I'm going to stop coming downstairs when you call my name. Uh-huh. So it kept happening. Finally, I just got to the point where I'm just like, what? And nobody would answer back. And I'd go about my business. And then one day it happened again, called my name. I said, what? Nothing. And then it kept calling my name like 3 or 4 times after that. My gosh, okay, mom really wants me, you know, I better go. Opened my door and I yelled down, what? And it's completely quiet. And I remember that I'm alone. I'm home alone. And there's someone calling my name.
And so it was mimicking your mother. Like it sounded like your mom.
It was a female voice. Okay. That's all I know. I would have my radio on and I would turn it off and I'd listen. And sometimes I'd hear it again. And that's when I'd say what, but a lot of times I wouldn't hear it again.
And did your sister experience any of those same types of hauntings that you experienced?
That part, no. She did end up, my sister did see as an adult, I would say probably 10 years ago, she was, she would come take care of the house when my parents were on vacation. And she called me one day and she was like, oh my God, you are not going to believe what just happened. I'm like, what? And she said, well, when I pull up in mom and dad's house driveway, I always look at the attic. She goes, I don't know why. I just kind of expect somebody looking out at me. And I said, oh, I do the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
She said, yeah. She said, but this time the curtain was, you know, open, kind of like somebody's holding it back. And she said, I just thought to myself, well, you know, it's probably caught on a nail or whatever, you know, I'm going to go up and fix it. Cause that's creepy. I don't want to see that. So, you know, a couple of days go by, she keeps forgetting to do it. And every time she pulls up in the driveway, the curtains open. She said the last day that before she called me, she was on her way out the driveway. She looked up remembering, oh shoot, I forgot to go pull the curtain down. And as she looked up, there's a little girl standing there holding the curtain open.
No!
So, like outside of the window?
She was inside. It was in the attic. She was inside holding the curtain. So she saw that, my sister saw that, slammed on the brake, looked back up, and then the curtain was down.
Oh my gosh. So it had been open that whole time.
Yes.
And, but when she finally saw the spirit, the curtain shut. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm well, so maybe scared.
She was just going in to shut the curtain because she noticed it was open.
Maybe but she's been doing that. That means every time she was coming home, she'd look up and this little girl would just be waving. Like,
yeah.
Yep. My dogs do the same thing every time we pull up. They push their head through the curtain and look out the window.
But it's like, why? I mean, she clearly, like, what if your sister had seen her and the little girl didn't know? And so it's like the little girl only closed it when she saw her look back at her.
Yeah.
Or something. Right.
Like when she was discovered. And is did your sister, does she believe that's the same little girl that she saw crawling on her? Well, she may have been too young. You said she was 3. I guess she may not remember.
Yeah, she's not really. Yeah. I don't know that she would remember, but just makes me curious.
Yeah, because that's a good point. Because maybe she was like showing herself to her because she had played with her. Oh, gosh, I'm like literally clenched everywhere. Like I'm sitting in a fetal position while talking about this. And then maybe your sister like convinced herself and was like, okay, I think that really is something. And so the last time she looked up, she could see the little girl again.
Oof. Yeah.
I'm like checking behind me.
Who knows? Well, as an adult, I had gone back and we had this wise idea. Of course I would never do this now, but, had a spirit board. And so my mom and I think my sister was there this day. I don't remember. I know my mom for sure was there. And my dad was there. And we were asking, you know, is there a spirit here? And who are you? And all of these things. And the questions that we got answered was, it was a little girl. And she said her name was Fanny. She was 9 and she died in like 18 something. I can't remember the date at this point. But so then we said, well, where were you buried? And it said a small town nearby. And my dad like interrupted, says, well, I know this family was buried in such and such cemetery. So we went and sure enough, the people that built the house, their little girl was buried there also. And it was all the same name, same date, all of everything matched.
The name was Fanny on the.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's nice. Yeah,
in the family knew that until y'all went to the graveyard, right?
No. Yep. We did not know.
Okay, JJ, if that happened to you, you would have to believe, right? Like, because there's no way somebody could pull your leg if nobody had ever been to the grave, right?
Yeah.
Wait, connect the dots with Fanny for me again. My cat was distracting me. I'm so sorry.
So we were at the spirit board.
I thought it was a ghost, but it was my cat. Okay. Just to be transparent.
Yeah, so we were asking the spirit board, you know, who was there and, you know, just being playing with it. And that's all of the information they gave us. And we went to go check it out at the cemetery that she gave us the name to, because it's a small town, you know, it's not big at all. So it was not hard to find. So then we started our research on the family and finding all this information out that it did match up. So that was enough to just think, okay, well, could be, maybe this little girl is Fanny and it is what is happening in this house. So, you know, after that, it was always kind of just like, oh, if anything weird happened, even if it was not paranormal. Oh, it's Fanny, you know, hi Fanny, right. You know, but.
And did the Fanny that was buried in the cemetery, did she pass away at a young age?
She did at 9. Well, I think it was 9. I can't remember now for sure, but it was the age that the spirit board gave us. And what the information that we found on the family that lived in that house, she didn't actually die in that house. The family had built that house, particular house, in 1907. And they had lived in another house on that property and farmed. But once their farm and their I think they had a pig farm. Once they started making money, they end up taking that house and moving it down the street. And then they built down the road and started building the house that I grew up in.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you know how she passed away?
It was an illness of some kind. I can't remember if it was pneumonia or something along.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild.
How would you like skeptic this?
I don't know.
Tell her how she's wrong, JJ.
Like,
I don't have an explanation for it. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it seems like there were a lot of details with the spirit board that are more like, if you had just gotten a name, like, okay, like Fanny's a pretty, like, was a pretty common name. Yeah. And like, you know, not too many letters. So I can see how like that might pop up on a spirit board. But yeah, the age and the cemetery and the fact that like the family was connected to the house, that's really weird.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think the funny thing is, so my husband, was a big skeptic, and we one time were out to my parents' house and we were taking stuff up to their attic, and so I don't know if I remember if I mentioned this, but they used to have the lady of the house used to have seances in that attic. She was into spiritualism and she'd have seances up there. In fact, the wallpaper that they put up was highlight the light, and it's supposed to make a reflection a little bit more, but
wow.
It was so that was just kind of, I didn't find that out till I was an adult. But so anyway, as my husband and I are carrying boxes up to the attic, he was in front of me, the attic doors open, and he went to go, you know, hit the light switch to make it the light turn on, and his hand was at least 3 to 4 inches away, And I'm watching him as he's getting ready to do it, and the light switch went up by itself.
Nope, I'm out.
And that's what he said too. No,
he that's wild.
He turned and looked at me and goes, did you just see that? And I'm like, yeah, I think it was Fanny just trying to help you out there. He's like, you go first.
Oh my gosh. I have a quick question before we get too far along. So you said that they had a book on spiritualism. So was that a book from like the early 1900s?
Yes, it was. Oh, wow. Yeah, my dad still has it on the bookshelf.
So cool.
Yeah.
Did she have notes in it or anything? Or was it just a book that...
No, just a book. A book. Yeah. Wow.
That's fascinating. Cool.
Yeah, that would be fascinating to read.
Mm-hmm.
Read through.
Yeah.
Wow.
So your husband.
Yeah.
I can imagine being in his shoes. You know, we get a lot of these stories that I think and I'm sure everybody does this, but as you listen to them, it's almost like they play out. It's like a short movie in your head. I mean, I can just see the like skeptic in the movie walking down the stairs being like, Fanny, this isn't real. And then seeing that light switch just go pop and being like, all right, your turn. I'll be back here.
Yeah.
I would lose my everything. Y'all, we have a mirror hanging like on a wall in our room, and we'll wake up in the middle of the night and it literally looks like a head or like a face. And I probably scream once or twice a week from it. And then I have to.
You screamed once this week.
Okay. It has jolted me so many times.
Yeah.
But I did scream.
Yeah. I appreciate your comedy brain though, embellishing that story. Yeah, I do that stuff all the time. And my wife is like, that's not how it happened. He's embellishing everything about that. You know?
Yeah. No, it's like when
I'm keeping it real here.
When I tell a story, I'm like, oh, this story is really boring.
You gotta punch it up.
Yeah. Make it sound better.
And then what my wife really hates is when I tell her stories and punch them up. And she's like, my story was fine without all those extra details.
You do that too, JJ. You also will be like, we heard so-and-so say this on this date. And I'm like, no, I said that like 2 weeks, you know.
Oh yeah, I definitely do that.
But anyways, I only bring that up to be like, if I had seen that light switch, oh my scary. Gosh, it would be over for me.
So picking back up.
Yes.
Have you seen any other like inanimate objects move in that way since then?
I have not. That has been the only thing that I saw move. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her or anything. I've heard her again as an adult. I had gone out to my parents' house with my two kids. They were like early elementary age. And I think, so my son was probably kindergarten and my daughter would have been like 4. And we had gone out there to spend the night because we had to get up early to go to attend a funeral. And it was just myself and the kids. And I was a little nervous because I wasn't nervous growing up in the house, but as an adult, and I started putting together like, oh shoot, this house might be haunted. That's when I'm like, I'm not sure I want to spend the night here anymore. But
yeah.
So when I got into bed, I had the kids on either side of me, you know, to protect me and everything. So
I always use the kids.
Always, always. No, so we go to bed and I thought, well, I'll just leave the TV on. That's going to give me light and noise and I won't hear anything. It'll be fine. At one point I woke up, you know, I don't know if I woke up because the TV just turned off or I just woke up. I don't know why I just woke up, but I realized the TV is off. So I'm laying there thinking, why is the TV off? Who turned the TV off? What's going on? And I'm like, well, there's 10 zillion reasons why the TV could be off. You know, it's not paranormal. You're fine. Go back to sleep. So I laying there trying to go back to sleep. And as I have my eyes closed, all of a sudden, it was almost instantaneous. I felt like somebody was right in my face. At the same time, I hear, hi, in a little kid voice, little girl voice.
Yeah.
And I opened up my eyes really fast and I was expecting to see my daughter like right in my face. And there's nobody. There's no one at all. I'm like, oh man. Yeah. So I did not go back to sleep that night. Stayed wide awake.
Do you ever have like issues with sleep or sleep paralysis or kind of that weird like falling sensation, like right as you're falling going to sleep?
I've had sleep paralysis twice, not in that house, but I've had it twice.
Mm-hmm.
once as in my first apartment when I moved out. And then, and in that one, I had just dropped my husband off. He was in the Navy. He's getting ready to go out for just like a few weeks. And I came home, it was really early in the morning, dropped him off like at 3 a.m. and came home and I just crashed on the couch and I had that sleep paralysis where I couldn't move, but I could hear in my mind, who knows what it was, but I could hear somebody walking through the house, through the apartment. Like I could hear keys and the mail rustling on the, in the little kitchenette that we had. And I just kept thinking, you know, my husband's home. What, why is he home? What's he doing? But I couldn't wake up. I could not get out of that sleep. So
you could do like Kat and be like, help. And he could be like JJ and be like, oh, that's cute. She's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always nice.
just to clarify, Kat did not ask me to help. She told me that she was going into the void. And me, who was also very sleepy, thought that just meant I'm going to sleep. And I thought, yeah, me too.
Yeah, clearly so. I meant sleep paralysis. Okay.
I hadn't heard that expression from Kat before, so.
And so then y'all had a kind of a crazy thing happen at Christmas, right?
Yes. So we're celebrating Christmas. I have two kids. My sister has three. So the kids were all opening their presents and my son, who was in elementary school, you know, came over to me and he's like, mom, the car is moving. The car's, you know, the remote control car is going. I'm like, well, yeah, it's going. And he says, no, I'm not driving it. I'm not doing it. I'm like, well, you know, it's probably one of the other remote controls, you know, from your cousins that, you know, that they kind of, you know, can making it run, you know. It's like, no, he's getting frustrated with me. So finally he just said, you don't understand. And he picked up, well, first off, his car is just driving around in circles doing its thing. And then he picks up his car and shows me the bottom of it and there's no batteries in it. And I'm like, what? Okay. Like that car's staying at grandma's.
I think this is like the waterbed though. Like a little ghost kid probably has never seen that before. It's like, oh, awesome.
Angela, we are not coming over if you invite us for dinner. Sorry.
I don't know. I think this ghost just wants new experiences.
JJ is coming. Be there.
I want to help this ghost discover new things. Like, well, Angela, some sushi. I never had that.
But Angela, you were actually able to kind of nip everything in the bud, right?
Yeah. Well, you mean, yes, I was. The more I thought about it, and I just kept thinking, you know, actually a friend had mentioned to me, what if this little girl stuck in limbo, you know? I'm like, gosh, you're right. It just makes me sad just to think that maybe she's stuck. So one time when my parents or no one was there and I didn't want to look crazy, I walked through the crazier. I would just walk through the house and I just started talking to her. I said, Fanny, you know, it's been fun having you here, but your family misses you. You should go home to them, to heaven with them, and just talk to them, talk to her. And I was hoping that worked. And I never said anything to my mom, never said to anyone. And then, eventually one time I just said, Mom, have you ever had any more experiences here? Because it was always quiet for me after that. And she said, no, I haven't. So I'm hoping that she did go on, but.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not that it seems like she was a malicious spirit, but at least that, you know, it's kind of like a happy ending to hopefully what was going on. Well, I'm always curious when people have these big experiences that kind of last over a period of time, you know, like this, whereas most of us may have one haunting in our entire life that we're not even sure exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Did that have an effect on, you know, your belief on spirituality, religion, death? I mean, how does all that impact your life as a whole, kind of this constant theme of a ghost like that?
Yeah, it's always made me, I know I said at the beginning, I'm a 10. I definitely believe in it. However, I am a huge skeptic at the same time. I question everything like, well, that could have happened because of, you know, it could have been this or that. But, you know, it just makes me know, I feel just in that experience that there is, to me, have to be an afterlife. And, you know, anything is possible. Is everything that goes bump in the night or every electronic glitch something paranormal? No, but, you know, it gives you a whole different outlook.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting and very, I don't know, the mystery of it all is always just what intrigues me.
Absolutely. And I think that's why we keep doing these episodes, because, you know, even as many as we've done now, it's amazing how many weeks after weeks I can hear these stories and get chill bumps or have to pull my head back from the mic because I gasp or whatever. You know, it's like, right. We really never know exactly what we're going to get and what we're going to hear, which makes it so much fun, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we're collecting scientific data, right?
Yeah, JJ, we're scientists. Eat it.
I mean, this is it. This is the data content for our scientific experiment on what ghosts are.
Yep. Maybe for like a qualitative study or something.
But don't use big words on me. I don't know what that means.
But it is really cool to like listen to all these stories, and exactly like you said, like the mystery of it is so fascinating. The mystery of not knowing and trying to be okay with that, but then like laying awake at night just thinking about those things and like, right. What on earth? So
you know what I think is so cool, Angela, is that so many of your stories. What was that? Was that your dog?
It was my dog.
Oh my gosh. I'm literally so on the edge of my seat. Everything's making me jump. JJ like moved his head and I was like, what? But he was just looking at something else. Anyways, I'm fine. It's been a long day. So my thing was, I think it's cool how most of like your personal experiences are things that you've heard. It just makes me feel, and then you were able to like talk to her and tell her to go back. So maybe there's some sort like that. All of our friends that come on and tell us about like clairvoyance and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember exactly which one is like hearing. And so I think that's really cool. And maybe your sister is more seeing it, you know.
Look, Kat, I'll show you. This is the house Angela sent over.
I didn't mean to make that face at the house. I was just scared there was going to be a ghost in it. That's a beautiful house.
That's the current.
That's a person, not a ghost. No, that's a plant. Wow, Catherine needs to calm down. That's really cool. I love that.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for coming and sharing those stories. I'm curious, since you have listened to the podcast, do you have any favorite episodes or guests that we've had on?
I have so many. I can't think of her name, but I like, there was somebody on there with the, they do a lot of the, she does paranormal and she does like
haunted real estate.
Yes.
Katie Price, the haunted historian episode.
That was
really, yeah, that was wild. I enjoyed that one too. Have you listened to the one from this past Monday?
I haven't.
Okay. Oh. So buckle in for that one. Cause that I would say hands down. And Kat, have you listened to it yet? Or you just heard from JJ?
I'm still too scared to listen to it, but I heard through them and I had to sleep with a lamp on that night.
I think JJ and I would probably both agree. That was probably the most compelling, scary story. It felt so real because it dealt with like some real life trauma and stuff mixed in with it. And it had a very like cinematic ending. So I would definitely recommend, and I would love to get your feedback on it if you want to email and let us know, but that was pretty wild one. Well, that's so cool. Did you have anything you wanted to promote for coming on the podcast?
I really don't know.
Thank you so much for coming on, and just, you're so kind and warm-hearted, and it's been really nice talking to you about such an intense story.
And we should mention before we go off, I'm sorry, Kat, I didn't mean to cut you off. Angela, can you tell us real quick about submitting the story to the newspaper and the feedback you got back from that? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. So this was just a small town paper. My dad contacted me and said, they're, you know, looking for some stories of some haunted stories for October for the county, if we had any places in the county that were haunted, just to, you know, submit a story. So that's where I submitted all of my stories. And in the feedback was, I had several friends reach out and go, I knew it, you know, I knew your house was haunted. And one in particular was my best friend's little brother. he contacted me. He said, I told you, I don't know if you remember, we came to get Wendy one day or pick her up. And I looked up and there was a little girl in your window. And I asked, who's the little girl? Now, I don't remember that at all. But he was insistent. He goes, I asked you guys and you were like, there's no little girl.
Wow. So, Fanny.
Yep, it was Fanny.
Also, for some reason, I can't hear the word Fanny and not think Fannie Mae. I don't know what that's all about, but I guess, is that student loans? Is that what Fannie Mae is? Yeah, okay, never mind. I'll cut that out. Oh, okay, you're right. I don't know. That's just my brain.
JJ's like, you can see him calculating. He's like,
but no, it's just good. Well, cool, Angela.
Isn't
thank you.
Isn't that like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Yeah.
I don't know what they did, but it like
I don't either. But yeah. Recession. That sounds right. I'm gonna go with that.
To merge or something.
Yeah, I think my like little ghost meter thing moved closer to 10 tonight.
Yeah.
It's not 10, but it's probably like 6.
My little ghost meter moved a little too. That was a good one.
Mine's just like spinning around in circles. So it's like, I don't know what to think. I'm broken.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
Yeah. I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Angie. Ooh. Ooh.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.